Bruce Thatcher joins us now. Bruce, of course, the one and only immigration expert. It's been a while since we've really focused on it, and I always appreciate when Bruce is here. He is the expert, and of course, for a long time we talked about his number two book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce understands this, and of course, he's just released here earlier this year, Rise and Decline, where we are and what we can do about it. Bruce Thatcher, good to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I am just fine, Bill, and it's great to be back.
Well, Bruce, you know, here we are. We've got sanctuary cities. The latest announcement here recently, you know, they call them safe cities now. An entire state has gone sanctuary, I think, since last time we talked, you know, state of California, which is absolutely bizarre. But we've got other safe cities now participating in an established network that include Atlanta, Austin, Baltimore, Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, Dane County, Wisconsin, Oakland, Alameda County, Prince George's County in Maryland, Sacramento, San Antonio, Santa Ana, California. It's like, what is this all coming to here?
Well, I think one of the things one of the interesting questions to ponder is, why are we getting more and more sanctuary cities? What is it that drives this? And the easy answers are, well, we have these immigrants and they need to be protected because the heavy hand of the government is going to send them away. But of course, the sanctuary cities are not established to protect immigrants. Legally, they're established to shield illegal aliens under the law.
Right.
And why do these cities do this? Well, it's political. They view some advantage to themselves politically in doing it, and it's idealistic. There's idealism going along with much of it as well. But they've increased after President Trump said, you guys, sanctuary cities are a bad thing, and we need to stop this and begin enforcing the laws. And as soon as he took a position, a clear position on that, sanctuary cities began to increase. Some actually changed in the other way and modified their sanctuary positions, but for the most part, their response was to use his position as an excuse to increase their position, a doubling down. And I think that characteristic is something that's affecting the whole immigration thing, as well as a lot of other issues in the country.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to suggest here, is that this impacts everything. It's not just immigration. It has to do with attitude, our perception of the rule of law. I mean, in Maryland, you got Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh there. When she made the announcement that they were joining the Safe Cities Network, this is a quote. She says, "Our community is safest when our neighbors trust their officials and institutions and know they will be treated justly and with dignity." I mean, that's her opinion. I don't know that you want to use that as a shield to protect your constituency. You know, it's one thing to have an argument and theoretically address this issue. But when you talk about, you know, as you do in your book, Rise and Decline, there are consequences here.
There are consequences. What you see happening is groups of people, identity groups of people, being specifically singled out for protection by a particular political interest, and what I referred to in Rise and Decline would be called particularism. It's group identity politics, where you try to pitch one group against another group. In the case of sanctuary cities, the group ostensibly is the illegal aliens. But that's not where the votes are at the moment. What they're doing is they're using that to try to pitch for the wider group of recent immigrants that live in those cities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a divisiveness technique. It's dividing the country. And you can go back and examine many kinds of different interests and groups to say, why is that happening? But it's outlined in Saul Alinsky's book.
Right, exactly. And Bruce, you touched on something really important. Again, I'm hoping our audience and others really catch this, and that is the divisiveness, the division of our country. We are, I've said, time and again that we're no longer the United States. We're the un-United States. Because of these interests. The other thing that, I would think that the initial reaction by the immediate citizenry should be, they're using your money. I mean, in each of these cities, how many of these people voted and maybe they're just going along. It's overwhelming. They don't know they have a vote or anything to say whatsoever. But what they've done is they have been able to, in doing this, to legally access the funds that would otherwise be used for the citizenry is now being used, to defend illegal, illegal aliens. And it's just, I think it's irresponsible. It's unconscious. It's a malfeasance. This continues to happen. And something has got to be done in a grander style. I know that the Trump administration tried to make a move to say, look, we're going to defund these states, in certain things where we can do that because they're not following federal law. And of course that got preempted, right?
Well, I got preempted because, for the most part, it turns out, at least the courts have decided that the federal government cannot defund cities or any programs that have been passed by Congress. It can only withhold monies when there's been a provision in the bill that allows them to do that, and there are some of those, but there's not very many of them. So the sanctuary cities are going to the courts to support their position. I remember a mentor of mine way back 100 years ago when I first got into politics in Cook County, and she said to me, if you want to know what's happening, follow the money.
Yes, always.
Follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge, huge amount of money that's involved in the sanctuary city things. That's
right.
That's just one of the problems.
Bruce, the House of Representatives, as you mentioned, passed two immigration bills this past summer, Kate's Law and the No Sanctuary for Criminals Act. The bills exact harsher penalties on those who re-enter after being deported and put pressure on local governments to cooperate with feds on immigration enforcement. Now, some of this resistance is just so ridiculous because, it's all based on their dislike for Donald Trump. I mean, now we've got, congressmen, really putting a push on on the impeachment of the president. They're filing articles of impeachment. This is how crazy it's gone, and meanwhile, we're paying for all this insanity.
You can look at some of the numbers, and certainly supports that position, too, because only of the 225 immigration-related bills, including Kate's Law and some of those others that have been introduced in Congress, this year, only 13 of them have even been reported out of committee. Only 3 of them have actually gone to the president and been signed into law, and those are the most innocuous little things that you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
There is a huge resistance to anything that people view would indicate that Trump is being successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there's a lot of mean-spirited blocking in Congress on that regard. But I also think that what appears to be mean-spirited has to do with, let's go back to the follow the money kind of thing, follow the advantage. Why are these people doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets back to, for the most part, it gets back to my position, my power, my
right.
prerogative. And it's just extremely discouraging.
Well, they're loading up the system because they know that the predominant number of immigrants, illegal and otherwise, are going to go Democrat. So, to your point, they're looking to develop a new voter base here. And
well, I th- I I think that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, first-generation immigrants who are first-generation naturalized Americans tend to vote Democratic. And every politician, political science person knows that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly the Democratic Party seems to have a much better handle on the long-term view than the Republicans do. But the biggest, the most frustrating impediments to immigration reform this year are not the Democrats or the Republicans who won't get it together and won't act. And you almost get the feeling that it's the establishment is saying, there's no way we're going to change anything because we like it the way it is.
Exactly. Well, they've been bullied into submission here. I'm talking about the GOP. And here it is with, control of supposedly the House and the Senate and the Oval Office. I mean, they have a president now who is there to sign, sign laws. He's saying, get the bill to my desk. I'll sign it. I mean, for 8 years, they didn't have this kind of cooperation from the Oval Office. It is absolutely ridiculous. And they're missing an opportunity here. And that is to frame this whole issue into what is good for the American citizenry. And to really expose the Democrats for exactly what they're doing right now. I mean, even PolitiFact has to agree that when the president talks about, illegal immigration being down by 61% in the southern border. Now, this is just the southern border. 61% is a huge number. And they agree that's mostly true. But even beyond that is that what are we doing, for the greater good, not only of the American citizen, but of these immigrants who are being taken advantage of. And somehow it's all justified, and these illegal immigrants are pawns in the grand scheme of the Democratic Party.
They are pawns. They are pawns. And the statistic you mentioned, the decline of illegal immigration at the southern border, how much do you read of that in the newspapers? It's hardly reported.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most of the actions that Trump has been able to take, and there've been a number of them, and the catch and release has been ended, and there's more employee enforcement, the border things. The president's actions, the administration's actions, have to be focused, and are focused on what he can do, which is enforce the laws, which. The only press you get on that is a negative press of saying, well, somehow or other you shouldn't enforce the laws. It's just insane from people who rest their rhetoric on the Constitution, who have in many cases vowed and taken oaths to enforce the laws, who are so critical about the president enforcing the laws. But he has been effective on those things that he can do.
Well, Main Street America gets it, Bruce. As you know, they know this is about national security. They know our national security was greatly compromised by the previous administration. And it got to the point where it was scary. And here it is. We're still living with some of the fallout and what has already been instituted because of lax national security laws. And even some cases beyond lax, I mean, they just obliterated the laws, and now we got to talk about super vetting. And I go, why don't we just vet? I mean, why do we need super vetting, right?
why don't we change the immigration law so that it gives us some of the tools that we need? That's one look, but to your point, why don't we just use the tools we have? We have changed the process of immigrants such that those who are already in the country on visas or whatever can apply for immigration while they're in this country, even though it used to be they always had to apply at the consulate where in the country from which they were coming.
Exactly.
The whole process and the whole swamp, which is the terminology the president uses in Washington, is really pulled together to combat what they feel is the threat to their prerogatives. And I think that what's ahead is pretty much more of the same kind of thing. I don't think Congress will act on DACA, even though they now have, the president gave them 6 months, 2 months are already gone. They're not going to take any action on that. They're not going to take any action on sanctuary cities, which is to give the president the power to withhold funds from them. So the president is limited for the next year to whatever executive actions he can take and whatever enforcement of the existing laws he can take, and virtually everything that rises to the level of awareness is going to be blocked in every way it can.
No question. Yeah, that will be more of the same. You're exactly right, Bruce. And, you know, the thing that amazes me is the very same people who, you know, will tell you right away that the immigration system is broken. These are the very same people that have broken it. Because they're breaking the law. They've just decided to ignore the law, and there's no consequence for it. So they just keep on, you know, doing more of the same, right? Why not?
They do. And one of the techniques, of course, is accuse your opponents of doing what you're doing, and we see a lot of that.
Yeah, nonstop, no doubt. Bruce Thatcher has been our guest. Bruce, as always, an honor to have you with us. We appreciate the update, and we'll be staying in touch. Bill Martinez, live at 29 After.